Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the fourth parak of Maseches Shabbos, a very, very short parak with parak Dalet Mishnah Beis, and then we're going to begin the fifth parak of Maseches Shabbos with parak Hey Mishnah Aleph. Parak Dalet Mishnah Beis is going to begin by discussing various additional halachos as it pertains to Hatmana, as it pertains to insulating food for Shabbos. As we learned in the previous Mishnah, you're allowed to insulate your food, to wrap your food in various materials that will maintain its heat, but will not add heat to it. Says the Mishnah, Tomnin Bishlachin, you're allowed to surround your pot of food with animal skin, because animal skin doesn't add heat, it simply maintains the heat. Umetaltalinozon, and you're allowed to move the skins on Shabbos itself, even though, you know, animal skins were not generally used to insulate food, they're not considered to be muksa, because you can use these skins for rugs and you could sit on them. There is a purpose for them on Shabbos, and therefore they're not muksa as well. Continuing in the Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Begize Tzemer. You're allowed to surround your pot of food with wool shearings that are no longer naturally moist, as the Mishnah told us previously, that you're not allowed to wrap your food with pieces of unprocessed cloth, such as wool shearings, if they are naturally moist. But here, they're not naturally moist, and therefore, they will not increase the heat. They will simply maintain the heat. However, says the Mishnah, Ve'ein metaltalin osan, you're not allowed to move them, even if they were used for insulating food, because the main usage that they have, the main purpose that they have, was to be spun into thread, and then woven into cloth, which is one of the melachos of Shabbos. Weaving, you can't do on Shabbos, and therefore, because the main purpose behind wool shearings, and the main purpose of wool shearings is to be spun into cloth, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, therefore they are mukta to use for any other purpose besides for insulating them. You can't move them in any way. So therefore, asks the Mishnah, Ketzad Huosa. Wait a second, if they're mukta, then what should a person do if he surrounded his pot with these wool shearings before Shabbos? How can you open the pot without actually moving the wool that is piled on top of them? Says the Mishnah, no tail es hakiso, he should remove the lid of the pot that is covered with the wool, vehe no flos, and then the wool shearings will fall off on their own. Because he's not moving the shearings directly, this is permitted to do. You can't move them directly because they're mukta, but by moving them in this way, with a shinoi, with this weird, different kind of an approach, you're allowed to do that, and that's not considered to be moving mukta. Continuing in the Mishnah is now going to discuss removing a pot from a box that is full with this also, with this shearing, with these shearings that are mukta. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Kupa, if one wants to remove a pot of food from the box, but the problem is that it's surrounded by these wool shearings, again, that are mukta. So, mata al tzida v'notel, he should tilt the box containing the shearings, and what's going to happen is the shearings are going to slide down to one side, and then he's going to be able to replace the pot. He can then place it in the area of the box that is empty of shearings, and that is sufficient, and that will work. And then when the box is once again, when the box once again stands up straight, the shearings will fall around the pot, and that works. He may not, however, remove the pot from the box without tilting the box. That, again, is the opinion according to the Tanakhama. And why is that? Shema yitol ve'enu yachol ha'achzir. Because we're concerned that he might take the pot out of the box, and then he's not going to be able to return it, because these shearings are going to fall into the hole that remained when the pot was removed. And if that were to happen, he might ultimately forget and move the shearings out of the way in order to put back the pot, which would again violate the prohibition of muktzah, of moving something that doesn't have a purpose on Shabbos itself. So again, according to the Tanakhama, you would have to tilt the box and keep them slid down, and that's how you would have to do it, without just simply removing the pot without first sliding them down into the side of the box. However, v'chachamim omrim, but the chachamim say no. No telu machzir, he may take the pot out without tilting the box and then replace it in the box, as long as the wool shearings have not fallen into the place where the pot was. The chachamim are not concerned that if this permitted, that if this is allowed, then he might be tempted to move the shearings, because that was not, according to the Chacham, we're not concerned about that, and therefore you're allowed to remove them without tilting the box. And as the Bartonor points out, the halacha is like the Chachamim. Continuing in the Mishnah, as we discuss insulating food on Shabbos itself, says the Mishnah, Lo kisahu mi be'od yom. If one did not cover the pot while it was still Friday, meaning you do so on Shabbos, you're not allowed to insulate it. You can't cover it once Shabbos has begun, even with something that does not add heat. The insulation, the hatmana, must take place from before Shabbos. And the reason for this is because we're concerned that if a person's allowed to wrap hot food on Shabbos to preserve the heat, to maintain its heat, then a person might notice that the pot he's about to wrap has cooled off, and he might then reheat it before wrapping it. We're concerned about that. And therefore, kisov in his skull, if one covered the pot, however, before Shabbos with a substance that does not add heat, but preserves it, like we've been saying, and then the pot became uncovered on Shabbos itself, motor lechasoso, then you are allowed to cover it again with these materials, again, that will preserve the heat, that will maintain its heat, but then I will add heat, even though you can't do it on Shabbos from the beginning. But if it started, if you started Shabbos with the hatzmana, with the insulation taking effect, then you're allowed to put it back on if it fell off on Shabbos itself. Now the Mishnah is going to conclude by discussing one final aspect of hatzmana when it comes to wrapping cold food on Shabbos. As the Mishnah memale es hakiton, that you're allowed to fill a bottle with cold water on Shabbos, v'nosin l'tachas hakar o tachas hakeses, and you can place this bottle of cold water under a pillow or a cushion on Shabbos in order to take away some of its chill. Now, although it's not allowed, you're not allowed to wrap hot food in any substance on Shabbos, wrapping cold food is allowed because it's not the normal manner of hatmana, it's not the typical way of insulating food, and therefore it is permitted to do exactly like this. Continuing now with Parakei, Mishnah Aleph, as we begin a discussion of Hotzah, like we began the Masechta with, a discussion of carrying on Shabbos itself. The halacha is the Torah forbids a person to do Hotzah, to carry on Shabbos, like we discussed, either for Amos within a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYachid. But the truth is, as the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisra, where the Torah describes the obligation of Shabbos, there is something called Shvisas Behemto, resting one's animals as well. It's not only enough for you to rest, but as we say in Kiddush, Vehemtecha uvegerecha, you have to rest as well, your animals have to rest as well, and therefore we're going to discuss now the halachos of when a person may allow and when a person may not be allowed to have his animals wear various things on Shabbos. It's not only true that you're not allowed to carry, but there are certain types of things that you're not allowed to put on your animal, because then it's like your animal is carrying, and once again, your animals have to rest on Shabbos, just like you have to rest on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, B'meh behim ayotza, with what may an animal wear outside on Shabbos, uvemah in ayotza, and with what may it not wear outside on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, yotzi hagamol ba'afsar, a camel may go outside with a leash that is tied around its mouth, and the reason for that is because a leash, as the bartender points out, is tied to a camel's mouth. It's keeping it under control, and anything that will keep the animal in control, you're allowed to have it wear on Shabbos. The only thing that you can have your animal wear on Shabbos is some sort of a masa, some sort of a burden, something extra that's not necessary, that's not needed, that you certainly are not allowed to have your animal wear, but something that the animal needs or that you need for your animal to have is allowed on Shabbos. Continuing in the Mishnah, Vinaka Bechatan, a white female camel can have a nose ring. White female camels are also very wild animals, and therefore they need the special ring through its nose to maintain its control. Vilevudkis beprumbia, a Libyan donkey, as the bartender points out, can have like this headgear that was also used to control the animal. Visus basher, and a horse can wear a collar. Again, the collar also is like this metal band with the ring attached that allows, as the Rashi points out, it allows a person to lead the horse with the leash or the rope, and certainly that's important as well to keep control of the animal. And the Mishnah says, V'chol bali hasher yotzin bashir, any animals that need a collar, need some sort of a leash, whether it's a hunting dog and so on, may go outside with the leash of the collar wrapped around their necks on Shabbos. V'nim shechem bashir, or if they're being pulled by the leash of the collar, that as well is permitted, because in all of these situations, the item serves to restrain the animal with which it is being described, and therefore it's not considered a mas, it's not considered a burden, and it can certainly go out in a rishos harab, in a public domain, while wearing these articles of clothing, while wearing these various items of jewelry, because again, they're needed for the animal itself. One final aspect of the mission, not related to Hotzah and Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos, but related to the laws of Toma Vitara, says the Mishnah, Umazin Alein Vitovlin Bimkoman. You're allowed to sprinkle the Mechatas. The Mechatas was the spring water that in which the ashes of the Parah Aduma are mixed, and in order to purify either a kli, a utensil, or a person that became tame from a dead body. A tohor person dips this different hyssop into the purification water and sprinkles it onto the item and so on and so forth. Now, the concern here might be, no, they have to take off the item itself and dip the mechatas and sprinkle the mechatas onto it. But no, we're saying, no, that you're allowed to still keep it on the animal. We're not concerned that the backside of the collar is not going to get touched. Normally, there can't be any sort of chatzitza, any sort of interruption, any sort of anything that's in between the animal's skin and the water. But to be that as it may, we're saying here that you're allowed to keep if the collar of an animal became tameh, then you're allowed to sprinkle the mechatas, this water, on it, and you don't have to remove the item from the animal's body itself. Quick review, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis. Continue the discussion of Hatman, of insulating on Shabbos, and we continue the conversation regarding the halacha that a person is not allowed to do Hatmana if the item that you're insulating it with is going to increase the heat. You're simply only allowed to maintain the heat. We said that when it comes to, you're allowed to use animal hides, and you're allowed to move animal hides because they're not muksa, because they could be used for other things as well. They could be used as a rug and so on. However, when it comes to wool shearings that are no longer naturally moist, so that you are allowed to use as a hatmana because it maintains the heat, but you can't move it because its main purpose is to spin it into thread, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And because its main purpose is that, it's muktzah as well. So therefore, ask the Mishnah, how are you able then to function if at the end of the day, they have a pot surrounded by it, but then you have to open the pot at some point and you can't move it? The answer is you're allowed to move it. You could remove the lid of the pot, and through that way, you're sort of in a secondary type of an indirect way, removing the wool shearings without directly moving it, and that is sufficient, that works, that is allowed. And then the Mishnah continued by discussing the case of a person who needs to remove a pot of food from a box, but it's surrounded by wool shearings there as well. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was of the opinion in that situation they have to tilt the box and then it'll slide down, and then we're not concerned that, according to him, we are concerned that a person might come to move it physically if you don't tilt the box. The Chum disagree. We pass like the Chum. We say, no, you can just pick up the box, and even if you don't tilt the box, it is okay. And then the Mishnah continued by telling us that you're not allowed to do Hatmana once Shabbos begins. The Hatmana must happen, the installation must take place from before Shabbos. However, if it started as insulated before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos the insulation fell off, you are allowed to return the insulation to it on Shabbos itself. And the Mishnah concluded by telling us that you're allowed to, if you have cold water, for example, in a bottle, and you want to loosen the, you know, want to take away some of the chill of the cold water, so you're allowed to put a pillow or a cushion or something like that around it in order to lessen the chill. The gezerah of Hatzmana, the prohibition of insulating on Shabbos, really was only made with regards to actual hot, trying to maintain something that's hot, not trying to take away a little bit of chill from something that is cold. And then Perek Hey Mishnah Aleph discussed what an animal's allowed to go out with on Shabbos, and we said that the general principle is that anything that is considered to be necessary to maintain the animal, to control the animal, that's perfectly permitted, and the Mishnah gave various examples of that. However, as we'll see, anything that is a masa, that is a burden, that is extra, that is not necessary to control the animal itself for the animal's purpose, then that you're not allowed to have the animal carry, because again, there is an obligation and there is a requirement of shvisas behemdo, of allowing your animal to rest as well, and therefore you can't have your animal carry anything in a rishus harab, in a public domain, that isn't necessary for the animal as well. Have a great day.